Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Wednesday morning, April the 22nd, 2026. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. And many of you now know we are under 2 weeks away from the big primary on May the 5th, 2026, and boy, have things gotten very interesting. And because of that, especially in the gubernatorial primary, the Republican gubernatorial primary, we are so glad to welcome back this morning for the first hour one of the candidates in that primary, Casey Putch. Casey, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
You know, Casey, before we get into a lot of the things that have happened in the last week or so with everybody's campaign, what do you make of what's going on with under 2 weeks to go before the primary?
Well, there's a tidal shift away from Vivek and toward our campaign. All the cracks in Vivek's facade have shown, and it's really exciting to see and be part of, course. Heather Hill's campaign has completely burned to the ground. Lieutenant Governor pick, Stu Motes, did a public apology to me because their campaign had been slandering me as an atheist despite clearly being Christian for a long time, and he apologized for that and said that it was part of the campaign he was part of. So Stu Motes has left the Heather Hill campaign based on integrity, and she is not legally able to replace him. So that campaign is finished. And the tide has shifted toward the Push for Ohio campaign over Vivek.
Well, Casey, it's kind of interesting. Mr. Motes did an exclusive interview with us yesterday morning. He was on for an hour, and he denied a lot of things that had been said, but he did bring up the point that the Hill campaign had been referring to you as an atheist. He did not like that. He knew that you were not an atheist. What did you make of all that?
Well, it's politics. It's a very dirty, horrible world. I think I prefer people just spreading lies about me rather than, trying to take me out. But it's sad. You know, obviously it's wildly hypocritical. And I think a lot of Stu for at least voicing that, because, you know, we do have to have some dignity in politics because already it's just so horrific out there that, the public is bombarded with propaganda. And at the very least from Heather, slandering me as an atheist and purporting herself to be a Christian, it's a very unchristian thing to do.
Did you ever have conversations with Heather in the Hill campaign?
I had spoken with them twice. I remember when I first ran, they were nice. We had a little phone conversation, like video, saying that, hey, we don't like Vivek, but let's agree not to be nasty to each other because we all want something positive. And that was the sentiment there. And then Heather Hill messaged me and like not kind of demanding that I meet with her. And the only thing I could figure is that she was going to drop out of the race and wanted to support ours. That was the only thing that I could figure would warrant getting together. In fact, I was rather annoyed because she requested it was a long drive to meet her, and the only car I had to drive in time was a sports car. It was starting to snow, and I had my 3-year-old with me, so I was a bit grouchy by that. She very strangely was going to try to convince me to join her campaign, and very strangely she has texted me many times in the last few months trying to say, come join our campaign. It was very strange seeing that all unfold. But I really had no talks with them because it was clear to me that she wasn't being a team player.
What do you make of her in general? It's been an interesting week. I believe the Hill campaign has made the accusations that Stuart Motes referred to her as an N-word bitch. I mean, that was part of this. That he had pulled her close to him in photo shoots that they were doing, that I think now there's a new accusation in the last 24 hours that Mr. Motes has been violent in the past with some of his wives, past wives, and things of that nature. What do you make of her and her campaign in general?
You know, I barely know her. I can only look from observation. I think their campaign is completely burned to the ground. I frankly don't know, but what I can tell you is that the Heather Hill campaign worked very hard to slander me as an atheist, spreading whisper campaigns within the Christian community, making artwork, pushing that. So, you know, when her Lieutenant Governor Stu comes out and does a nice public apology for that, I thought really well of that moment. And since that time, she's gone into full nuclear meltdown mode, pointing the finger, throwing wild accusations anywhere. So the only thing I think of it is that I'm glad that I'm not part of it. And it's probably best that we move on because there's certainly big issues in Ohio to solve.
There certainly are. I just have one more question. Do you believe any of these accusations against Mr. Motes?
My inclination is that Heather is trying very hard to deflect from that whole thing about atheists, because obviously that was what sparked all this. But I don't know. I barely know either one of them, so I really can't comment. But from here, it just looks like a knee-jerk nuclear meltdown.
All right. Casey, how do you feel about the primary coming up? We're under 2 weeks. How are you feeling?
Pretty darn good, actually. The only thing that leaves any wonder is I'm certain they're going to try to make some kind of kill shot on me between now and then. So it's a little bit like historic naval warfare. So I guess I'm kind of waiting to see if they pop out of the fog and try to shoot cannons at my deck. The reason being is that the tide has shifted massively. You know, I see little things being put out there as kind of a soft push propaganda, using some dubious polls and things like that from liberal universities to try to make it look like Vivek is doing really well. And everything I see in the media, they're trying so hard to prop up Vivek to make him look like the anointed one. But the public is 100% backlash. If you look at any of the comments on any social media platform, he's getting just eaten alive. And people are pushing for the push campaign and for me and my Lieutenant Governor Kim. You know, we got great momentum. And at the very least, you know, what we've done is shown the world that actual, genuine people who care can stand up, run for office, make a difference. So regardless of what happens, politics is not a zero-sum game. We've pushed that movement, and I think that's a really good step, at the very least, from taking the government back from the Uniparty.
Do you mean that literally somebody would come after you, or is that more metaphorically?
You know, the last statement I made, or moments ago?
Yeah, well, when you said that you know, somebody might fire cannons at you.
Oh, well, I was using the metaphor of naval warfare. In that regard, I was just speaking that, you know, I think we all know that politics is a very silly game played in the public stage and theater, from traditional media, which is largely only propaganda, to social media. Obviously, I'm very honored to be doing the radio show with you and reaching everybody. But it's a big, vicious, nasty game. And, you know, when we look at traditional politicians, shall we say, or somebody manufactured and polished like Vivek, that's a person who really can't relate to the people. He's done nothing for Ohio. He has no businesses in Ohio. He's done no real philanthropy for Ohio. He can't connect with the normal person. So they have to work very, very hard to try to make him look polished. And then, of course, discredit and destroy anybody else. And, of course, I am that somebody else. And there's real momentum. There's massive push from the public. The entire tide has shifted online. So they're going to get desperate, and I'm certain they're planning something to either completely try to destroy my reputation, get a massive media wave against me, or just to make my life a living hell. It could be any of the above.
So, because I do remember a few weeks ago we had talked and you had said that you were carrying a gun, that you actually felt physically worried.
Oh, of course. Oh, absolutely. My goodness gracious. You know, this past weekend, it's fascinating. Last few weeks, I realized the tide has also shifted that I can't do public events at restaurants anymore because there are, shall we say, kind of the shadier places of the internet where people are stoking political radicals on either side to harass, stalk, threaten restaurants and people, things that I'm part of. And we had one event in Columbus that ended up getting canceled. The restaurant was too nervous, creating all kinds of crazy accusations, and the media was pushing them in funny directions. So I just boldly said, we're doing it in a public park downtown Columbus in Goodale. And it was very nice. People showed up. There were some instigators, some agitators, of course, but that was handled, nicely. But it's wild because down there, only 100 yards away, there was an Antifa, looks like, get together. They were doing a big ICE type thing, and they were kind of sending some of their people out and about and around. So tensions were high, but fortunately, I have a lot of, a lot of talented friends from the past that volunteer to come out and keep a very close eye on me and my safety and all the people there. But yeah, any of the threats are real. I'm not going to, sit here and cry and try to make a mountain a molehill, but I would be crazy to think that anything is not possible.
Do you have a real fear for your physical well-being?
Well, I think I'm wired differently than a lot of people because I've enjoyed things like, amateur car racing and motorcycle racing and things like that. So I've got a little higher risk tolerance, perhaps. Fear is not the right word because what I fear the most is Ohio being destroyed by the Uniparty or, the Globus Trojan Horse Vivek. That is a future I don't think we can come back from. We'll destroy the American dream. That's truly where my fear lies. I would say that I have some apprehension, and I'm incredibly vigilant about my safety on a daily basis because there is risk associated with this, of course.
And just one more question on this. Do you believe that somebody from the Vivek campaign or the Republican Party or would actually try to physically take you out because they don't want you to win this?
I don't think that's how it's played. I think... because you would never want to, people like that would never want to be tied to it. However, it's my opinion and belief that in politics, let's say hypothetically there's a group that wants you gone. The first thing is they're going to want to do it in a way that makes them look good, of course. So if you want to destroy Casey Putsch as a politician in the future, you're going to want to do it in a way where all the public suddenly believes that it was a trick and that you have to love, let's say, in that hypothetical circumstance, Vivek. So, obviously, political manipulation through media and such, that's how you would do it. If you wanted to harass, stalk, threaten, or take out somebody in real life, then I would expect to see something like that done surreptitiously multiple times removed in kind of the shady parts of the web to radicalize groups of people that are already a little too edgy, in a way. And that's why I said this is a very deadly game of theater. And we've already seen a soft version of that played out in places like Reddit and such, where people can go on there and honestly and stoke the fires and, call me everything from a Nazi to a bigot to God knows what and have whatever politically radicalized group, make life very difficult for establishments, restaurants, patrons, etc. So, yeah, I mean, politics is a deadly serious game, but again, I say the thing that I fear the most is seeing Ohio fall to the globalist techno-state through Vivek, who's really only here to sell us out through data centers, replace American workers through cheap Indian foreign H-1B workers, that's horrific, or even Amy Acton with the Democrats, which is just a revolting, slow-decline uniparty.
There are reports this week that Vivek has put $25 million of his own money in his campaign. What do you make of that?
That's a bad sign for Vivek. He's losing in the polls to Amy Acton, a Democrat. Ohio is a red state. I think it leaned that way over 10 points with Trump. Ohio would be a very safe state for the Republicans, but Vivek is just such a loathsome candidate on his own right, having nothing to do with where he's from. But he's just loathsome. He's a terrible candidate. And at the moment, If, in fact, he makes it through the primary, most likely he will turn the state blue. And that's why Amy Acton on the Democrat side, she's had a lovely campaign for her. All she has to do is smile and be pleasant, because Vivek is truly terrible. Sadly, the GOP is in bed so hard with Vivek that, as my great-uncle who flew F-4 Phantoms used to say, they've got target fixation. They're probably going to fly their aircraft right into the mountain. The people here with my campaign, you know, Casey Pushkrahow and Kim, the tide has shifted greatly. So we may not even have to talk about all those concerns here very soon. And perhaps all that money that's been contributed to Vivek's campaign can be contributed, of course, to the right campaign for Ohio, that's Push for Ohio and the GOP, and not only keeping Ohio Republican, but doing so in a good way that represents the values the Republican Party was actually originally founded on, and, you know, keep it in the best interest of all the people of Ohio.
Want to read something to you and get your take on this. Last week, Lieutenant Governor candidate Vivek Ramaswamy's running mate, Rob McCauley, Senator Rob McCauley, was here in Marion, and he gave a speech at the Harding Day dinner, and I want to read one paragraph from that. It says, "We have Amy Acton, we have the national political movement, and we have complacency. Those are the three things, our three opponents right now. I would argue the third opponent is the most dangerous opponent we possibly have. I think people look at this race and they see a visionary leader, somebody who distinguished himself on a presidential debate stage in Vivek Ramaswamy, a national personality with a national reputation, and they see Amy Acton, who shut down our society, and they say, how could he possibly lose to her? Well, it's a very real possibility. There was a poll that came out several weeks ago from a nationally run tracking pollster that actually had us down in the polls in this race. Now, you might say, I don't believe in polls. They're all a bunch of hot garbage, etc. And our internal polls are not all that far off either. So everybody needs to understand that we ought to work on our horse. It's not very hard for us to imagine the type of governor Amy would be. I mean, let's face it, we all lived through COVID. Now, that's Senator Rob McCauley, the lieutenant governor candidate, running mate for Vivek Ramaswamy, last Thursday night at the Harding Day dinner here in Marion. He's saying their internal polls match the national polls, which have Amy Acton either in a dead heat or in the lead. What do you make of that statement at a big Republican fundraiser, big Republican dinner? Usually, candidates don't speak like that.
Well, that's showing weakness, obviously, and that's why they would never speak like that normally. But that the fact that he's bringing that up shows they're in dire straits, and it's frankly probably a lot worse than that for Vivek. And they're not interested in course correcting, for instance, you know, with a candidate such as myself. Obviously, they effectively had no primary, endorsed absurdly early, and the Ohio GOP has anointed Vivek much in the same way that Kamala Harris was anointed. And they really didn't have a primary for president back then. So it's biting them right now. And then, you know, of course, his speech comes from the context of ignoring our campaign completely, because for them to shine any light or even acknowledge the fact that I exist would be a deadly mistake for them or the GOP right now, because it would absolutely shine a light on the mistake of them endorsing so early. It just goes to show how massively out of touch they are and what a mistake they made. But fortunately, the people see it. And, you know, the tide is shifting right now.
Do you believe that Amy Acton is in the lead in this race, and that if you do not win this primary, that she will be the next governor?
100%.
So that's how it will play out. Now here's something, more bad news for Vivek last week, and I just want to get your take on this, because I know this is something you're very passionate about. There was an ad that came out last week from the Ramaswamy campaign claiming that Amy Acton closed polls in the 2020 election, and Governor DeWine came to her defense and said, in government, this happens all the time. Do you think a member of the president's cabinet would issue this kind of order without his approval? DeWine said, I told her to issue the health order. The decision was mine, and he denounced this ad by Vivek. What do you make of what Governor DeWine said, getting involved on behalf of the Democratic candidate, and Vivek running this ad and then getting it denounced by the governor?
You know, DeWine is a funny little man, and I don't mean as mean as it sounds, but it's almost as though he's never been in politics before. Because that him saying that really discredits Vivek, who is the candidate that he endorsed. So that really destroys the movement of his own party and his own anointed candidate, and weirdly props up Amy slightly, despite her being loathed relating to all that. So I don't know what Mike's doing, but, you know, if I was going to be his political consultant, I would tell him to go home, be quiet, and stop talking, much in the same way that Vivek has not been allowed to publicly speak much, except for places that are very controlled, and that his entire massive ad campaign right now is only of other people speaking upon his behalf, because every time you speak, the people hate him more, frankly. Mm.
Do you think that Amy Acton closed down the polls in 2020, or do you believe that is a false ad, as the governor does?
You know, relating to Amy Acton, I think she's a revolting candidate for governor. I don't necessarily think she's a horrible human being. I just think she's nowhere remotely a leader. You know, she was obviously instrumental in locking down the entire state. She resigned as health director, citing the pressure was too much with many issues there. And this is a person that simply is just not a leader. It frankly is a wonder to me how on earth that is the candidate for the Democrats. Because, again, simply not a leader. But I'm not really overly worried about that. The biggest thing now is getting over this Vivek mess, getting through the primary, of course, so that so I can win the governorship, and frankly save Ohio from both of those options.
And do you think she shut down the polls, or do you think the governor ordered her to shut down the polls?
You know, I think they were all part of that, clearly. And in fact, Vivek, there's a lot of talk here that it was paid to wipe from the internet his account and record of also being on the advisory board, advising relating to actions on COVID at the same time. So it does appear that Vivek may have had a lot of involvement with that, too. So, you know, frankly, I'm not overtly worried in the details there, but I can tell you they're revolting choices. Ohio is spending absurd amounts of money. We're at nearly $100 billion budget a year. Massive amounts of fraud with things including like Mike DeWine's perpetually defended Haitian population in Springfield, the Somalians, much to the tune of up in Minnesota, maybe $20 billion like there. We've got third world truckers causing literally fatalities on the road. And then Vivek, of course, wanting to facilitate the misuse of the H-1B visas so that they can import cheap foreign labor from India, literally replace Ohioans and their jobs, as we're seeing with large companies firing tens of thousands of American workers and then hiring a small amount of Indian H-1Bs that the companies can exploit tremendously while, frankly, destroying Ohio, our job market in the future. And that's what I see with these people. You know, they've really done nothing of their own lives to genuinely better the state. I've used my entire adult life building the nonprofit Genius Garage, getting young engineers jobs, building the 100-mile-to-gallon recyclable Omega car invention, among others, trying to raise a family and help people out. And I got to the point where I just saw that there's really no way forward for young people to own a home. There's no bright future for any of us having jobs with what these people are doing. And the list goes on. So that's why I've stood up and risking it all against them. But we've got to put these things behind us.
Casey, I want to talk about what you can do for Ohio, but before we do that, because I like having you on the show, because I know you're very candid, and I want to clear up some of these things that have been said in the last week, because they are on voters' mind, they are put out there in the media, and I think everybody should have the chance to answer accusations or things that have been thrown at them. Last week, it was a big news story. It was reported all over the place, that an event location had canceled on you after agreeing to host you for a fundraiser. And it was, their term was, they said you had pro-Nazi opinions and beliefs. Now, what do you say to that?
Well, it's funny, but it's actually a very, very sad situation. That restaurant was one that I adored. I adore the family down in Columbus. It's Le Chatelaine, the French restaurant. They're very nice people. And I've considered myself friends with one of the family members, Val, and his wife for, 15 years. I've been going to their restaurants, and then even as a child from going way back when, so I don't know, my family's been going there for 30 years. And I learned an important lesson that when you're running for politics, don't have rallies at places you really like by nice people that own it, because, I had shared it with Val. I'm like, hey, Val, let's do this. I'm going to pay for it and arrange, and he was super nice. We've done events in the past. Like, I've gone out with him and his family. Like, they know me. They've been around Genius Grads. They've been supportive of my students. My goodness gracious. Anyway, so we're going to do the event. I sent him the ad, and it's real nice. Enjoy a taste of France, all that jazz. Just a meet and greet. And so on Reddit, the political radical lunatics get on there, and of course they're gonna choose whatever their soup du jour is to slander you with. And typically with the left, they're always gonna call you what, like a bigot, sexist, I don't know, pedophile or Nazi. Those are the top ones, right? So since I have a German last name, they went with the last one. And since it was a French restaurant, and they do all kinds of nice things, including anniversaries of the D-Day invasion, liberating France, of course, from the Germans and such, that's what they went with. And the freaks online, anonymously, can start calling all of their restaurants, all their employees, making threats, harassing them, obviously calling a Nazi and pushing all that out there. And then the mainstream liberal media, as it typically is, they can call them up. And they ended up speaking with one of the women that's a family member that I don't know as well. I've maybe met her twice in my life. And of course, she's unaware of what's going on because they hold many events and do many things. And pressure her into, of course, obviously denouncing things from World War II that were terrible, but doing it in such a way that makes me look bad as well. And so I texted with Val, and I go, what is going on? because I told him when when we decided to do this event, I said, are you ready to potentially get some phone calls? And he says, gosh, I hope I don't want that. And I said, I don't think it'll be too bad. Here's the ad. But this is big time politics. He says, oh, that's okay. So we decided to, obviously not have the event at the restaurant because I frankly really like that family. I really love the restaurant. I don't want to cause any of their employees stress. So we just pulled out, and that's when I did the event at the, at the park, Goodale Park down in Columbus, by downtown in the Short North. And, I just decided we'd have some fun and be a man of the people. And, I drove my old Dodge Viper, my old hot rod, because you can plug an electric guitar into it with the windows open, play it like a guitar amp. So I just let people that evening, anybody plug in and play and have a good time and just do that. But it was very sad, but that's an example of how you can use radicalized people on the internet, places like Reddit, et cetera, and darker places to harass and make things happen in reality that then the media can skew anyway. But obviously, not a Nazi, never been one. This is Ohio in 2026. This is not Europe 100 years ago. And frankly, the world is getting pretty tired of those old accusations and psyops.
Well, and just for people who didn't understand this, the idea was that you were calling this a beer hall rally in connection with your last name, and people online, and it was people online, linked it to Hitler's failed coup to overthrow the German government known as the beer hall putsch. And also, there were some comments earlier in your life in which I believe you had said Hitler had some good decisions and beliefs. Did you know that the beer hall putsch was associated with Adolf Hitler? And do you think Hitler had good beliefs and made some good decisions?
Yeah, so, no, I appreciate you bringing those things up. So before the French restaurant event that was canceled from all the radical kooks on the internet threatening them, we had an event at a beer hall and brewery up here in Toledo. And I'm trying to remember this. Maybe it was 3 weeks ago or so. Anyway, my campaign team put out our ad like we always do. It's got kind of the logo, puts Georgetown for Ohio. It had a picture of me and a lower thing of like, where the event is and all that. And then there it'll say like, what it is. And so it was a little political rally, and it was at the beer hall and said beer hall rally. So It's kind of funny, actually, that the internet chose that to go so bonkers over, because obviously they took the fact that my last name is Putch, which is spelled identical to the word that means coup d'etat, or to overthrow the government. But it was a beer hall rally, which is exactly what it was. It was a rally in a beer hall. And so they tried to put that together and use that to go on a giant running around screaming like Kermit the Frog panicking that there's Nazis and that we're having a beer hall putsch, which is silly because putsch means to overthrow the government. And, of course, there was an attempt to overthrow the government historically at a Munich beer hall with Hitler in the Weimar Republic and God, more than 100 years ago. But there was also one in Zurich, Switzerland in the 1800s when the farmers and the laborers overthrew the government and the liberal university because they started messing with religion. So it was a stretch, of course, for these people. But, you know, as we've all seen from politics, you just need some kernel of something that looks a certain way for people to go crazy on, or, you know, frankly, to activate. Because the other thing I have to point out is, throughout this campaign, even just 3 days in, there were already massive paid hit pieces from influencers trying to destroy my campaign. Laura Loomer attacked me hardcore only 3 days into this campaign. And that totally blew up in her face and backlashed. But I've had every attack from things like that, or even Milo Yiannopoulos, Kat Turd tried to get me, but all those blew up in their faces. There's been bot armies online that people have even noticed. There's been organic movements to try to destroy me. You know, and we've gotten past every single one of them. And that's also where I tell you the movement has shifted with the people, and especially online, because we've gotten to a point where people, they see what's going on. They're not as easily duped by the media and these movements as they were in the past. So we're still sailing. Obviously, there's no connection to any political movements of Europe from 100 years ago, my goodness gracious. And it was a really, really nice event that everybody enjoys. And then there was something else you had mentioned about, comments relating to
Hitler having
Hitler and all that.
Yeah,
I've done a, last year, when I frankly just had enough of the absurdities of politics in the world, this is before running, I just couldn't take it anymore. I was doing videos where I utilize AI, and I ask it a series of interesting and or unusual questions. And I start to see where AI puts people on the guardrails, because all the various AI systems, they do have inner programming to keep people on guardrails, to not be able to ask certain questions, to be able to propagandize you, to steer you in other directions, based upon what the people who program AI want. And I did, in fact, do a video. It was a bit of a hyperbolic statement that I asked AI to list all of the, you know, positive or good things done by Adolf Hitler. And I know that triggers people, and that's fully understandable why. However, by posing such a question to AI and forcing AI to bring that up, one gets very interesting data as to what's going on with AI. So, yeah, totally understandable why people would make note of that exercise. But obviously, that was done specifically for the sake of poking AI and understanding what's going on in historical context. But, you know, and also how we are all led one way or the other, you know, with regard to political radicalization. Because, you know, obviously, a sign of intelligence is the ability to give consideration to any other point of view without adopting it yourself. And that's an important thing for everybody to do, because if we can't look at everything objectively, and also seeing how we are being manipulated and how we are being lied to, we have no chance for a better future. So, you know, with regard to that, it, you know, it's great. And obviously, if there was something where I was some sort of crazy, radicalized lunatic, well, that already would have bitten me a long time ago, rather than actually my entire adult life doing things to better the future, again, helping young people get jobs, building the environmentally friendly car, being a community member, and moving forward. So, yeah, this is just politics 101, but I got a couple of interesting things popping that are fun to mention for you guys.
Okay, go ahead.
With regard to my opponents here. So something that's hot on people's mind, especially given the Iran war that's wildly unpopular, is foreign influence, AIPAC money in Congress and such with regard to the government of Israel. Some people just given to me, I'll be doing a video on it, that Vivek and Amy saying that, you know, there's no AIPAC money, there's no influence, etc. But some people use AI to trace all of their donors and then cross-reference those donors with, Israeli, pro-Israeli PACs and such. And Vivek's campaign, if this is correct, has taken over $800,000 from pro-Israeli donors to pro-Israeli PACs, 90% of which are not in the state of Ohio, which is very strange. And then Amy Acton, who in herself is actually Jewish, and in no way do I mean that negatively, I'm just pointing that out relating to the government of Israel, she's taken a much smaller amount, something like $130,000 from pro-Israeli donors, but with her, 75% are in the state. So it does make people wonder what is happening with regard to Vivek and why is he taking so much money and donors that are, you know, pro-Israeli PAC type donors from out of state, if in fact that is accurate. So there's some really fascinating things happening with the internet and AI that you can do to trace and find out where people's power is coming from and why there's such a push. But that's something that is of deep and grave concern to people in Ohio. That's why I've stood up. I've called Vivek a globalist Trojan horse many times over. And I think when we start to see donors being orchestrated in such a manner like that, it lends credence. And I would also go so far as to say, if you see the one opponent that's shifting the tide and standing up against a globalist Trojan horse like Vivek for the sake of the people, and you start to see foreign money influence in it like that, you can start to understand why there may be people out there that want to try to slander me with the silly old notion of being a Nazi.
Well, you know, Casey, and that's interesting because a lot of people would say, you know, listen, in politics, people have said a lot of stuff. But a lot of people would say, after the accusation was made against you, why didn't you just say, I denounce anti-Semitism of any kind, and I certainly denounce anything Adolf Hitler ever did? I mean, is that a statement?
Well, that's part of the game. You see, the second people do that, it's a trap. That's a social-political experimental trap. I refuse to get into that at all for a number of reasons. One, it's irrelevant because this is Ohio and America in 2026. We have our own unique problems, AI and data centers being shoved down our throat, a technocracy and surveillance state, our workers being replaced with Indian H-1Bs. This is not Europe 100 years ago. So I'm not going to get into that argument at all because it's irrelevant, but also because it's very much a trap. It's something that's been used over and over again to trap and to stymie people. And as I think we're all smart enough to understand, labeling people anything from, oh, you're racist, to you're bigot, to you're anti-Semitic, you're sexist, etc., by using labels viciously and trying to destroy people's reputations, that's simply done in a straw man sort of way, but in a way to discredit genuine criticism of something that maybe deserves criticism for the betterment of the future. So it really is just dirty politics, but the reason that I won't get into those arguments and I won't come out and denounce things from 100 years ago is, one, it's irrelevant and silly, and two, it's just a trap. And I have no interest in talking about things that are irrelevant to the betterment of Ohio's future and its people. And if I get stuck in traps, then there's no way for me to stop a globalist Trojan horse or a uniparty takeover that's just going to make all our lives worse.
Well, you know, I think, Casey, I think the argument that people make against that is that there are people out there who will think that you are for these things because they are being said in the media. And if you don't denounce them, they, even if you don't mean them in a serious way, they think you're serious.
Well, that's a very, very small number of people nowadays. Those are, I would say, only the people that are under full control of media. And as I think many of us know, a lot of legacy media companies, they're not real broadcasting. They're classified as entertainment, so they don't even have to meet all the regulations and such of it. So in that sense, they really just become propaganda. But the big thing about that is, again, you know, by not doing that, yeah, sure, there's going to be some people that are highly propagandized that don't know any better, and I hope that they wake up sooner than later, much like the rest of the populace has. But especially young people now, they know, they see it, they're very sensitive to propaganda, and I'm just not going to play the media's game, or these people's game, or these politicians' game, because that's the only way they have power. Well, so we're just not going to play their silly card game.
Okay, well, one more thing I want to give you the opportunity to explain, and then I do want to talk about what you can do for Ohio outright here. It was the video that was posted on X. It has you entering the frame. You say, hey, Vivek, you want to play Cowboys versus Indians?
Yeah.
You then go on to say, don't worry, it's feather, not dot. Now we think that how this has been written is using discriminatory words to differentiate between an indigenous person and an individual from India, dot referring to India.
Yeah, the double entendre.
Yeah. Okay, so this video a lot of people have called racist and against Vivek, and in the past you have said that deport all of them, including your fellow candidate, as far as Indian people like Vivek go. Okay, what happened with this video, and people who say it's racist, what do you say?
That's what's called a dad joke, and many tens of thousands of people got a good chuckle out of it, including people of Native American descent. You know, we live in a very silly time. It was clearly hyperbolic. Given everything there. One, if people notice, I was speaking in a little bit of a cowboy accent, which I don't normally do, which already would let people know this is probably going to be a joke or a bit. And, of course, the rifle I had was a lever action from the 1800s, very cowboy-like, and in no way ever pointing toward the camera or in threatening in any way, shape, and form. And it was all done with a smile and in good taste. So people like it. But, of course, the media is going to go with that because that's all they have. As an example, I don't remember which news affiliate it was, but one woman comes out, and of course they only take the opening of the joke where it's like, hey, you won't play Cowboys and Indians, and then they go, oh my god, he's got a firearm. And then they found a person from a liberal arts university that was a philosophy professor and is also a trans person of Indian descent. Like, they checked off all the boxes to try to go, oh, clutch their pearls and say it's threatening. No, that's called the dad joke. Everybody enjoyed it, and frankly, humor is something that allows the world to heal and move on. So that's something that I think a lot of people enjoyed, and that's literally all there was to it.
Do you see that there might be a twinge of racism in this, or outright racism?
No, I'll give you an example. So we talked early on in this statement of how in the Heather Hill campaign, Stu Motes, the lieutenant governor, he came out and offered a public apology of how he felt their campaign by slandering me as an atheist was wrong. He didn't like it, and he was sorry that they did that, and I thought that was very nice. And now suddenly, when this has not come up at all, Heather Hill is claiming that there's been racial slurs against her, effectively saying that she's a victim, which is silly because no one's talked about that before. It's much to the same. I mean, if people want to play the victim because I notated that there's a double entendre between Native Americans, known as colloquially as Indians, and people from India, i.e. where Vivek and his parents are, as Indians, and they can't understand that's a dad joke, I think they probably actually have bigger things they need to worry about in life than that. But,
Do you wish you hadn't done the video?
Absolutely not. I think it was great. It was funny, and I'll probably make some more jokes in the future.
I just want to say this, ask this question, and I think I know where the answer is going, but do you denounce racism?
What do you mean by that?
Well, things like, if somebody calls this racism or anything, racist comments, do you denounce people doing that?
Well, so here's the thing. One, we live in a world that uses racism all the time. DEI standards, affirmative action, you know, straight white men are probably the most discriminated against group in America today. And that sucks. That's something I deal with. That's something lots of people have dealt with. You know, the African-American community, obviously they've dealt with racism throughout history. Everybody has, all over the world. I think America is probably the least racist place on the planet. And if we all touch grass and if we had the opportunity to travel the world, we'd find that out. I think that America needs to get over all this notion about racism and move forward. So, for instance, with this campaign, Casey Push for Ohio, and I've said this and I absolutely mean it, what I'm working for is in the best interest of all of the people of Ohio. And the only way we're going to have a nice life to be able together to where we, all of us, can build families, we can build communities in the future is if, one, we don't let billionaire technocracies all sell us out to cheap foreign labor, regardless of where on the planet that comes from. If we don't get absolutely obliterated, subsidizing costs of things like data centers and such, or we just let a uniparty-type bureaucrat like Amy Acton just do what they always do, sell us out to more and more and more in debt and kick the can down the road and ruin the future for everybody. Because the fact of the matter is, I'd like to see every man, woman, and child in Ohio prosper for the future. And that has absolutely nothing to do with their race, their orientation, or anything else. And if anybody doesn't believe me, I will just have you know, look back at the last 11 years of my life and all of the different young men and women in Genius Garage that I have helped without taking a dime for it. They're diverse, and I did it because of what's in their head and their hearts, and I want them to have a good future, just like all the people in Ohio. I want all of us to have a good future.
Casey, why should people vote for you on May the 5th?
Well, I think my track record says and shows that I actually care about everybody. I care about the future. I've worked hard to make that happen. And I have the courage to stand up against massive corruption, people that want to do me harm and the future. And frankly, I have nothing to gain by doing this, and I have everything to lose. So I think when you look at that, it's pretty clear in comparison and contrast to the other candidates that I'm doing it for the right reasons.
Casey, final question here, because, and forgive me for asking this, but I know you're candid and I appreciate you answering all these questions, but a lot of people will hear this interview and they will say, you would not denounce anti-Semitism, you would not denounce racism, and that is a dog whistle to people who may be anti-Semitic, who may be racist, to vote for you. That's why you won't denounce it, and that maybe you express some of these traits, characteristics yourself. To those people, what do you say?
You've already lost. I'm not going to play your game, and I'm not going to let you take me down and the rest of the state. So it's time for you to go out there, find a constructive way to better the future and your fellow man, and if not, then just go away. Because we the people want a better future, and we're not going to play your stupid game.
All right. Casey Push, who is a candidate in the Republican primary for governor on May the 5th. Casey, I know we don't have much time left before May the 5th, but I hope we can get you on one more time before the primary.
I would be deeply honored. Thank you today. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Casey Push, one of the candidates in the Republican primary for governor, coming up in just a few days, under 2 weeks. We thank him for coming on, and we thank him for his candidness. It was an interesting interview, to say the least. We'll be back right after this. Marion Self-Storage is a proud supporter of WGH Talk Radio. Telephone number 220-666-09.